Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
Hello, I'm Tom Bruchet, pastor of Grace Bible Church, and again, it's another privilege of ours to be able to have this ministry to come to you by way of television and share with you some things that are important to our heart concerning the things of God. You know, today what I want to do to you is more speak from my heart than I do want to preach. You might take it as preaching because I'm standing here behind a pulpit and I'm going to read the Bible, but really, I want to reason with you out of the Scripture. I am very concerned with our society. I'm very concerned with the world that we live in for our country. And I want to speak to you what I believe is America's only hope. When I say only hope, you realize that we're really in a crisis in America. I don't want to be a doomsday preacher, and that's not my intent because I'm going to talk about the hope that we have. In fact, we just got done with a Bible conference in our assembly and had a guest speaker in from Tennessee, and one of his messages, all his messages had to do with Paul's instruction for the last days. But what he pointed out is not so much what people might have expected. He went to Paul's last books of 1st and 2nd Timothy, the last things that Paul wrote, and he shared with us what was on Paul's mind concerning last days, and he pointed out to us the emphasis that Paul placed in these books on first doctrine, and then godliness. Well, that just got my mind stirring because of all the different things that I've been thinking about concerning of our country, and I realized that it is real clear in Scripture what our hope is. When I say that we're in a crisis, America is in a moral crisis. I mean, when we just look out in the world, I mean, not only is there all kinds of shootings and robbery and carjackings and all the rest, but no one has any personal morals either. No one thinks that adultery outside marriage, well, that is adultery, but adultery or sex outside of marriage is wrong anymore. There's teenage pregnancy, and they don't try to stop it. They just try to give birth control or condoms in order to stop those type of activity or to the pregnancy, the result of it. But no one wants to stop the activity. No one wants to stand up and say it's wrong. And the homosexuality, something the Bible condemns from the book of Leviticus all the way to the book of Revelation, and the Bible's so clear on it, and yet preachers stand up and act like there's nothing wrong with it, and the Bible calls it a perversion. It's contrary to nature. It's contrary to how God made man and woman and the purposes for each. So we're in a moral crisis, but we're also in a legal crisis. Our legal system today has nothing to do with justice. It has nothing to do with right and wrong. No one even knows the difference between right and wrong. And so we're in a very legal crisis. Nothing but lawsuits going on and prisoners making most of those lawsuits, suing the very establishment that put them behind bars for doing wrong in the first place. And someone breaks into your home, you protect yourself, you could be sued for everything you got. And he could get more than he could have got if he just robbed you in the first place. So we're in a legal crisis in our country. You better watch the financial area. We're in a financial crisis. It's not going to be long. Everything looks real smooth. The economy looks like it's running real well, but everything is just paper and plastic. Nothing is real. and there's a deficit that's growing, and people really don't have any money, but they're buying, and eventually they're not going to be able to pay their bills, and all of a sudden it's going to crash. We're facing a coming economic crisis. We're in the crisis, but we're coming up to a crash. Then I believe we're really one of the biggest areas that we're in crisis is in our freedoms. America's freedoms are about gone. They're making more and more laws restricting every movement that someone can make, and the very premise of what made America great and the freedoms that we have are being taken away from us. Oh, not right away, just little by little by little. They're stepping in and restricting our freedoms until finally there ain't going to be any more freedoms. And so we're in a crisis in those ways too. But you know, everybody thinks that the answer to these things is in politics. Oh, we just got to get the right president, we got to get the right governor, we got to get the right mayor, we got to get the right people in office, and if we elect the right people and vote the right way, then everything's going to be good. And that's not the answer. When you turn to the scriptures, you begin to understand what the answer is. First of all, it says in Proverbs, and Proverbs is Solomon, who was a king. He knew about running a country. He knew about economics. He knew about morals. He knew about running a country and the things that make a country great. Solomon writes these words to his son, passing down wisdom in the book of Proverbs. He says in chapter 14, verse 34, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." It's righteousness that exalts a nation. And our problem doesn't lie with the politicians. Now, the politicians probably have, no doubt, have a big a moral crisis in their own condition of living. But really, where the problem lies is in individuals. It's all the individuals of the United States of America, what we are and who we are and what we've become, that is really the crisis in America. And when I speak to you, I'm speaking to you because if you'll take heed to the words that I'm saying and listen to the hope that God has given us, our country can be great again. We don't have to face these crises. They can be resolved. But the problem isn't in the politician. Don't look for a savior to come. Look at yourself. And compare yourself with what the Bible says about things in your life, and then you'll realize where the problem is and what the solution is. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says, "These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The assembly of God's people, and I'm not talking about churches and buildings on street corners, I'm talking about Bible-believing people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, that those who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says that Paul wrote to us so that we would know how to behave ourselves in the assembly, how we ought to conduct ourselves, how the assembly ought to be run, because the assembly is the pillar and ground of the truth. It ministers the truth to people's lives. And that truth goes, concerning that, it says in the next verse, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory." And you know, the mystery of godliness is not the mystery of Jesus Christ. We know that He was all these things, manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. But He's gone. And it's the church, the pillar and ground of the truth now, that manifests Christ, that's justified in the Spirit, that's seen of angels, that's preached to the Gentiles, that's believed on in the world, received up in the glory. We're looking for that event for ourselves. And what godliness is, it's Jesus Christ living through the believer today once they're established in the truth of God's Word. And that's why the Apostle Paul told us how to behave ourselves in the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. But he also immediately warns this in chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." And then he goes on to talk about the false doctrines that they're going to propagate. But what he begins to warn is that within the church itself is going to be false teachers that are going to rise, and that they're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That the church that's supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth is going to be a place where people are not going to get the truth of God's Word. And as a result of that, people are not going to be established in godliness. And because there's no godliness, the nation will fall apart. Not only the people's lives will fall apart, their homes will fall apart, the country will fall apart as a result of it. And so there's a warning that in the last days many are going to depart from the truth and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The same verse, chapter goes on to say in verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that's what I'm trying to do now. I don't know who out there is a brother in Christ, but what you need to do is you need to first come to get saved, and then you need to grow in truth. Before I read any further, perhaps I need to show you that that is God's will for your life. 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 3, it says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says there's only one way to God, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. A mediator is one who stands between. Jesus Christ was God who became a man so that he might go to the cross and die for man's sin. Here's man down here, and he can't attain to God's perfection, God's standard of righteousness. But then there's Jesus Christ, the God-man, who died for man's sins and pleased God the Father so that we could be brought together, man with God again, through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved when we believe that he died on the cross for our sins. We're saved when we trust him to be the Savior that the Bible says that he is, the one who paid for all of our sins, and the way to God is through Christ, not through a religion, not through a work, not through any ritual that you do, but through Jesus Christ himself. And what Paul says here, this is good and acceptable in the God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That's God's will. He wants all men to be saved. And he provided the way that all men can be saved, because the other verse said there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So God wants us saved, and he provided the Savior, and he gave himself a ransom, a payment for our sins, the thing that held us from being acceptable to God and received of God. A payment had to be made, and Jesus Christ paid that. He died on the cross for our sins. So therefore, we can be saved. And now when we trust that, God gives us eternal life, but not until we trust it. It says in chapter 4, in verse 10, it says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. God saved everybody by Jesus Christ dying, but not everybody is saved because they haven't believed yet. And so God has made it a way for all to be saved because that's his will. But it also says it's his will that they not only be saved, but they come to the knowledge of the truth. And part of the truth is that God wants people to acknowledge is the truth that Jesus Christ is the payment for all sin, and that would be testified in due time, whereunto I, the Apostle Paul writing, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity and truth. So the Apostle Paul is the teacher of the Gentiles in this age of grace. He wants people to come to know that too. And it's the church that's supposed to be the pillar and ground of that and make that known to people. But you know, the church is not preaching the true gospel, and the church is not teaching the truth of the body of Christ and the revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul for us to know today and realize what God is doing in this age of grace. Therefore, people don't know the will of God. Therefore, people are unsaved, and those who are saved don't actually have a clear understanding of what God's Word is. And if you don't have a clear understanding of God's Word and will, you're not going to have godliness produced in your life. And so the apostasy is set in. And as a result, that the world is turned away from God. It says in verse 6 of chapter 4, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable to all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. So the Bible tells us here real clearly that godliness is profitable. Now, bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable not only for this life, but for all life. And what godliness is us coming to the knowledge of the truth and understanding things about God to the point that our mind begins to understand what God would have us to do, and what God's will is for us, how we ought to live, And what we have is the life of Christ living through the believer, and not only bringing life of Christ into the believer's life, but bringing the life of Christ into a family, bringing the life of Christ into a society, bringing the life of Christ into a nation, and righteousness exalts a nation. It's our only hope, and that is to have Jesus Christ living in people in our nation. That's why our nation was great from the beginning, is because the people came over here, had an understanding of some things about God, and had some godliness in their life. Now we've departed from the faith, and as a result of that, godliness has gone out the door, and sinfulness has come in. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last times perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." You know, the list goes on, but you know, you've got to stop and think about these things that it's saying, because that describes our society today. Men are lovers of their own selves. There's no more love that's proper. We're all messed up, and there's no love, and as a result of no love, sin and iniquity is abounding. A day that's going to get even worse than our day is a day that's coming in the future when God withdraws the pillar and ground of the truth, and the body of Christ is going to go to heaven, and God's just going to turn this world over to Satan. It says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, it says that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And so love is just going to just go out of the picture. No more love in society. No more love toward babies, and we see that in our society. Babies being abandoned, babies being aborted. No more love in our society toward the elderly, just shoved away in some nursing home somewhere. No one thinks about taking care of them until they actually need the medical treatment. Just get them out of the way. In fact, let's go ahead and have death by dignity and just put them out of the misery. And I wondered who's really being comforted by this. Rather than realizing that they're valuable and they have some insight and they have something to pass down. But the elderly are being abandoned and stuck away in nursing homes. And when love waxed cold, marriages just dissolving left and right. You know, the Bible's all about loving your neighbor as yourself, but a man can't even love his wife anymore. He can't even love her till death does he part. Yeah, he's got to have his happiness and his way, and if it doesn't go his way, then he gets rid of her and goes off and finds something else. He leaves his kids, leaves his wife, and it happens the other way too, doesn't it? Women decide they're not fulfilled in life. They leave the children with the husband, and they leave, and they go out to start a new life, find their own happiness, live for themselves. Well, the Bible says, in the last day, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Greed. You know what's going to kill America financially? Greed is. You know what a credit card is? It's taking, you don't have any money, you can't afford something, but you want it anyhow, so you buy it, saying, I'll just make it off in payments. Those payments pile up, and eventually you can't pay those payments. What's going to happen? Well, you know, when there's a cash flow problem, what happens is a company declares bankruptcy. And when people charge and charge and charge, and then all of a sudden can't pay it, now bankruptcy courts are growing and growing and growing, people declaring bankruptcy. You keep cheating companies out of their money, and enough people do that, that company is going to have a cash flow problem because they're buying things on credit too. That company goes bankrupt. Big companies go bankrupt. All of a sudden, automotive industry goes down. The whole country goes bankrupt. And covetousness is the thing that's going to kill our country financially because people don't have any integrity to know what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Listen to what Paul says concerning covetousness. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Knowing the things about God and what He wills and how He works in our life and living for Him and being content with what you have, the Bible says, that's gain. The problem is, it says, for the religious world, it talks about the perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such turn away. The religious world thinks gain is godliness. Oh, God will make you healthy, wealthy, and wise, and you can claim this car and claim that house, and you can have everything you ever want. And they're trying to say that gain is godliness. The more people than they think then God is blessing, and less people, then God must not be blessing that work. That's not at all true in your Bible. The Bible says that godliness, and that is having a right understanding of God first as Savior, and then the truth of God for this age, and understanding that and having that in your life, godliness with contentment, that's what God said is great gain. It says, we brought nothing into this world and is certain that we can carry nothing out. You can buy and buy and buy and you're going to leave it all behind. And having food and raiment, therewith be content. Be content with the little things in life. But they that will be rich, oh, you just got to be rich. And you have that great desire to be rich. It says, they that will be rich fall into temptation and in a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many a sorrow. You see, if you have godliness and contentment, that's great gain. But if you have a love for money and you will to be rich and you spend all your efforts to get rich, what you do is you'll depart from the faith and your life will be in ruin. Why? It's godliness that has the great gain to it, not money. And so he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, goodness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. And so money and the greed for money is a ruin that's going to destroy our country unless godliness becomes more important than covetousness. But he goes on to say about these men, they'll be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. That's what they think about God. They just blaspheme the name of God. And you listen to how the name of God is used in our society today, and he's nothing but a curse word in our society. And it's going to catch up with us. Disobedient to parents. You know, if man can blaspheme God and he's disobedient to God, why do you think children should be obedient to their parents? It's God who told children to be obedient to parents. And if we're going to disallow God and we're not going to teach God to our children, it's not going to be any surprise when children grow up to be disobedient to parents. They're going to govern their own life. They're going to do as they please because that's what their parents taught them to do. That's what the parents do. No godliness, and as a result, disobedient children. What kind of society are we going to have in the future when our children are growing to be more and more disobedient? We're going to have more and more unrighteousness, and sin is a reproach to any nation. You know, it says, without natural affection. No, the love for babies are going to disappear, as we talked about. It says, truce breakers, false accusers. These people are nothing but liars. And you know, as a result of that, they love the lie. They don't love truth. God says it's His will for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But they blaspheme God, and they're nothing but truth breakers, false accusers, and the Bible says, incontent. They're just going to lie their way through life. They're fierce despisers of those that are good. They don't even want other people to be good. And so as a result, if they want the lie, they don't want truth, then they're going to get the lie. And that's exactly what they're getting because the religious world today is just about teaching nothing but a lie. You know, they've taken the very word of God and been changing your Bible and you don't even know it. They keep coming up with new additions to the revisions to the Bible and they're telling you their new translations. They're nothing but a new Bible that are corrupt, changing God's word, saying things that aren't true in the Bible, leaving important verses out of the Bible. The religious world is fooling the rest of the world because they're not looking for truth to begin with. They're after a lie, and they're getting that lie. And it's coming through the pulpits. It's coming through false teachers that are not content themselves, and they have what this calls having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So it says they're traitors, they're heady, they're high-minded, they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And so that's what's happening in our world. They're loving those things. They don't want the truth, and so they're getting a lie. They're getting a lie when we talk about our legal system and we talk about justice. You know, there's just about no justice anymore. We got the O.J. Simpson trials going on, and I don't know when you're going to see this and how far the trial will be going on, but you know, what's really on trial right at this point is nothing but police procedures. And what they're doing is just analyzing evidence, but actually trying to refute evidence, so it doesn't matter whether the man's right or wrong, and I'm not saying he's guilty or innocent, I don't know, but what I know is what's being tried is the judicial system, not the man, not facts, not evidence. There's all kinds of reports on how they're learning to stack the deck, so to speak, when it comes to the jury. Has nothing to do with putting someone on the jury who can think reasonably, can make a decision of right and wrong. That's out the door. What you need is someone disagreeable so the jury can never agree about anything, and then one side can get their way. And so it has nothing to do with trying to find what's true and what's right, and people just want the lie. And that's what we're getting in our society today. There is no justice. There is, in the legal sense, there's no truth. In the religious sense, men are just going around with their corrupt minds and having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And the Bible says, from such turn away. So we live in a society that's at all these things, and they're not content with anything in life, and there's nothing there that has any semblance of godliness at all. And the godliness is the answer to men's problems. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 says, knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous men, but for lawless and disobedient, for ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers. You know, I say that America is losing its freedom. And you know why we're losing our freedom? Men who are ungodly have to have laws, according to this verse. If men aren't going to have any integrity, any knowledge of God and morality of God in their life, no semblance of the life of Christ in them at all, the more that there is nothing but man in his own ways, the more laws have to be put on man in order to govern him, to keep him in line. And so Paul says here that the laws for an unrighteous person, for murderers and all the rest. And so as the more society becomes corrupt, the more the lawmakers have to put laws and restrain us and restrain us and restrain us. And that's what's happening in our country. We're losing our freedoms because of the sinfulness in our country, not because of politicians, but because of the sinfulness of our country. The solution in every case is godliness, but before there can be godliness, there must be salvation. Paul says, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menslayers, all these people need laws. For liars, perjurious persons, and if there be any other doctrine contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. These things are all contrary to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gospel is that God saves sinners. And the Apostle Paul was a sinner himself till he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And God did a work in his life. You need to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we'd love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.